Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It was a couple weeks ago that I sat in this very chair in the after hours super secret home location. And I was practically bouncing off the walls, all excited because the NHL had put together its return to play plan. 24 teams, a play-in tournament, a round-robin series to determine the top seeds, but mostly Stanley Cup playoffs on the horizon. And we knew the NBA would be following soon. Here we are on June 4th, the night of June 4th, and we've got the NBA's answer. So I'd love to know how you like what the NBA has come up with to finish its regular season and then move forward into this traditional path where a champion will be crowned. So there are differences between the NBA and the NHL, but ultimately you'll see that both end up in the traditional postseason bracket. Now, in the NHL's case, the seeding goes out the window, so we'll get to that a little bit later on. In the NBA's case, wait until you hear who advised the league and the Board of Governors not to turn the NBA and the 2020 champion into a gimmick. Adam Silver doing a bit of a Zoom call with the guys on TNT. So inside the NBA on TNT, there was a special on Thursday, and he joined them to talk about a plan that was ratified by the owners, essentially the teams, 29-1. And for those of you who were sure that it was the New York Knicks, James Dolan, who was the one, you are incorrect. It was actually the Portland Trail Blazers, not because they are on the outside looking in. As a matter of fact, that's not the case. They are one of the teams that will have a chance to play into the top eight in the West. But they decided to vote no because they felt like there were more competitive ways to get to a champion. And they liked some of the other formats that had been proposed as opposed to the 22-team format that is ultimately what we will see. So we'll explain the various pieces of it. We've got some reaction to it as well, but I'd love to get yours. Which of these versions do you like better? There's no right or wrong, not in 2020 when it comes to sports. Nope. There's no perfect plan. There's no blueprint. There's no nothing to be able to guide the sports leagues as they navigate a return after multiple months of watching, after multiple months of being unable to work with their teams, and in some cases to be able to work out at all. So which plan do you like better? And if you've forgotten the pieces of the NHL plan, I'll remind you here in a bit. But you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So good to have you on board. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Also on this edition of the show, Drew Brees not only apologizes to his teammates on a call on Thursday, but he also apologized in an Instagram video that he posted and in a long statement that was put out and released not only on his social media, but released to the various networks out there. If you haven't seen it, I've read it, I've seen it, we've got the audio, and you can certainly weigh in with your reaction. I know when I tweeted about it earlier, I got plenty of reaction on both sides. So again, on social media, we're glad to hear from you, but our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Also a great treat, Gene Steratore, the longtime NFL referee who recently made the transition to CBS rules analyst, had a chance to talk to him very recently, and he is funny as always. But we talked about this failed experiment to add replay review to pass interference and how it came in like a lion and went out like a lamb. I also asked what he thought the impact was of that 1 year of the rule change on officials inside the NFL. Also had a chance to ask him about the Sky Judge. And you may or may not know this, but he's a small business owner, as many officials in the NFL are. He is a guy who carries multiple jobs. And so in addition to now working as a rules analyst for CBS, he also is in partnership with his brother and owns a small business. And how many small businesses have been affected by what we've seen in 2020, pretty much all of them, right? So it was really interesting to hear his experience over these past few months as he and his family have attempted to keep their business afloat, and kind of an interesting added revenue stream they stumbled upon. So Gene Steratore, that conversation next hour here on CBS Sports Radio. And then I intended to share it with you on our last show, but felt like it was not the right time, and so we postponed it. But a pro golfer on the LPGA side who has put golf on the back burner this spring to return to her native Michigan and serve as a nurse at an Ann Arbor hospital because she wanted to be part of the efforts to help our nation heal and recover from the coronavirus. So a lot to do on this edition of the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We spent, well, I would say probably 85% of our last show on the conversations that we're having this week since the murder of George Floyd, the conversations that are taking place in your own families, in your own friend groups, maybe among you and your coworkers. And I just wanted to say really quickly before we move back to the NBA and the NHL, I really appreciated how you were willing to call the show. We had full phone lines for most of our last show. You were willing to call the show to share some of those conversations. You were willing to debate and disagree. You were willing to stand up for what you believe in. You put yourself out there on social media as well. And I read all the posts, and some of them I disagree with and some of them I agree with, and in every case, regardless of my opinion, I'm trying to learn something. I know that listening is the most important thing I can do, even though I talk for a living. It sounds funny, right? Some of my friends laugh at me when I tell them I'm a good listener. People who are just getting to know me tell, you know, they kind of laugh when I tell them I'm a good listener. But once you do get to know me, I think that is such an important component of hosting a talk show or communicating for a living. So ultimately, I communicate for a living. That's what I do. But listening is such an important part of that. And I found that once I started listening to my guests more, instead of planning my questions and what I wanted to ask them and where I wanted to steer the conversation, over the last 10 years, I've learned how to listen to my guests. And while I don't do it perfectly every time, it makes for a much better conversation, as you can imagine. But I got so many tweets and Facebook posts from you on Thursday in the wake of our show. And if you missed it, I did retweet the link to our podcast multiple times. It's up on our Facebook page always. And from sharing my experience with you to talking about the Drew Brees, Malcolm Jenkins, and every, well, not every angle, but the other angles that were brought up in the NFL and around the sports world on Wednesday, it was a good conversation. And I hope that we can have more of those moving forward. The only reason I ever take down posts on our Facebook page, by the way, is when they have inappropriate language or when they are political. So if you want to go and read what other people have written on our Facebook page, that's great. I like the fact that we've got conversations that are going back and forth on our social media as well that don't even include me. Some of you do include me when you don't need to include me. But anyway, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook, and we're glad to be facilitators. And also our phone number, 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Which return to play plan? I got to be careful when I say that, because sometimes if I rush, the words come out all jumbled. You know all about that, right? Which suits should follow sport? My latest juxtaposition. Which return to play plan do you like better? It's opinion. It's harmless, but it's a fun debate. The NBA will return with 22 teams. The NHL will return with 24 teams. So fewer teams that are on the outside looking in. The NBA will finish its regular season, sort of. It will have more regular season games. Now, will it play all of the regular season games that were remaining on the schedule when the league went into hibernation? No, because not all the teams are coming back, so that is impossible. But there will be 8 more regular season games to at least get closer to the final picture, the final tally after the 2019-20 schedule. But instead of these being called regular season games, Adam Silver referred to them as seeding games. Seeding, S-E-E-D-I-N-G, seeding games, when he was on TNT with Ernie and Shaq and Charles, and there was a cast and crew. So 22 teams, 16 of which are already in the playoffs if they chose to slam the door and start today. Those 16 are in the top spots in both the East and the West. And you know, the 6 bubble teams, they're calling them. That's their term, not mine. 6 bubble teams that will have the chance to play in with this kind of capper to the regular season, the seeding games. And Adam Silver indicated that among the feedback they received from both teams and players as they were trying to put together the perfect plan, the pseudo-perfect plan, there really is no such thing as perfect, especially not in 2020. But the feedback they got from around the NBA community is that there should be meaningful games before they jump right into the playoffs. They should have some type of games to A, get their sea legs under them, B, maybe get used to the fact that there won't be fans in the stands because they are playing this entire postseason with no fans in the stands. C, the uniqueness of being at a single site as opposed to their own home courts or a hostile environment. All of that is out the window and will take some getting adjusted to. When I played in college, we once went to the Bahamas for a tournament over the holidays. And I remember it was the weirdest thing because not only was it a neutral site, at least for us, we were playing a couple of local teams. Not only was it a neutral site, and not only were there holes in the wall. So it was concrete walls with holes in them. So you had to get used to, the atmosphere of a new gym as well as the smells and the breeze in some case coming through the holes in the walls, which is kind of funny. But you also had to get used to the fact that there were no fans in the stands and that you could hear what your opponents were saying nonstop. And you also just had the kind of the different ambient noise. So it does take some getting adjusted to. Now, these guys haven't been in a gym and playing games now in nearly 3 months. But it's for them, this is like riding a bike. It's what they've done their entire lives and their careers. It's going to take some adjustment to a neutral site all the time. Everybody using the same gyms. There are a few of them. And then, of course, having no fans in the stands. And it's almost like the scrimmages for USA basketball that we saw during the Last Dance. But it was important to both players and the owners, coaches too, that they have some meaningful games before they jump right into the playoffs. Get this. According to Adam Silver, it was Michael Jordan who spoke up and said, this postseason should not be gimmicky. Commissioner Silver specifically referenced Michael Jordan and the fact that they all listen because they believe that he is one of the foremost authorities when it comes to basketball postseason. Thought that was interesting. But that it was Michael Jordan who was really convicted about the fact that this shouldn't be gimmicky. Don't screw around with a postseason format. Yeah, it takes some finagling to finish up, you know, the regular season and add a few more games when not all the teams are in Orlando. But when you get to the playoffs, they should be the playoffs that we know. And to that end, they ultimately decided they will go back to their traditional format. Four rounds of seven games each. And so you'll have the first round, and then you'll have the semifinals in each conference, and then you'll have the conference finals, and then boom, into the NBA finals. And Adam said they want to keep it as close to normal as they can once they get to the postseason. Now, obviously, nothing about this is normal, quote unquote. I'm not even sure what normal is anymore. But they're going to go through all the rounds of the playoffs like we're used to. So for those of you who have complained in the past about how the playoffs are too long, well, they're going to be just as long in 2020. What's different about the NHL? Well, they have 24 teams, so fewer are left out. They will have two sites instead of one. They will have the top four in each conference play their own little round robin, almost like they're going to a youth league tournament or an AAU tournament, a junior hockey tournament. And they will play amongst themselves to determine seeding. So the seeding for the regular season has not completely gone out the window, but it's your ticket to the play-in or the round robin. It's not your seed, ultimately. And then the NHL will allow five-game series as opposed to regular season games. Five-game series to give the teams that were close but not in the playoffs a chance to earn a spot. Okay, so there's the major difference other than the number of teams and the two sites versus one. The NHL is going with five-game series to allow teams the chance to get into the postseason. That's their way of kind of finishing up the regular season and making sure that these other teams have a shot. In the NBA, they're going to finish up regular season games as opposed to jumping into series. So which format do you like better? Both are interesting. Both will be novelties. Both will ultimately result in the same format that we've seen in the past in terms of series and games, but they have different roads to get there. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. We'll get some reaction a little bit later this hour to the NBA's return to play plan. And coming up next, Drew Brees on Instagram, as well as on a Zoom call with his teammates. And strangely enough, Shaquille O'Neal was on that call on Thursday.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Just a snippet of the Drew Brees interview on Yahoo Finance that went viral on Wednesday and set off a firestorm among other NFL players, including Breeze's own teammates, the Saints. Now, we've spent hours on it, and I've tweeted about it. If you would like to go and read some of my tweets today, A-Law Radio. But we did a good portion of last night's show in reaction to not just what Drew Breeze said, but also the Malcolm Jenkins response and the response that he got from a couple of his own receivers in Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. But I also shared with you that there were teammates of Breeze who stood up for him and said this is okay. He's allowed to share his own opinions. We don't have to agree. So it was largely critical in the reaction, but there were some who stood up and said, hey, you know, I mean, he's entitled to his opinion. For me, and I'll just quickly reiterate what I said on last night's show, I was not surprised by Drew's stance because that's what he said every single time he was asked about the national anthem back when it was a huge topic in the NFL and really transcended the NFL. But back when maybe three seasons ago, when there were players kneeling during every game and or before every game and on every broadcast, and they were out there, and there was such a firestorm over it, and it was such a debate. Whenever Drew was asked about it, he would say, I will always stand because of my two grandfathers who fought in the World War. And so it wasn't a surprise what he said, nor was he in any way not entitled to his feelings about the subject. Of course he is, just as everyone else is entitled to their feelings about the subject. I'm not going to go back down that road again, but how many times I shared with you my feelings on the subject? We all did. It was what we did for a full year. We each shared our opinions. Yes, Drew Brees is entitled to his opinion. My issue, and this is my personal opinion, but also what he has since admitted to, if you read his statement, my opinion is that it missed the mark. And I said that last night. And then when I saw his apology, I was like, wow, I said the exact same thing. It was veering off to the left. It was tone deaf to what else is happening in our nation. It was all about him and his perspective as opposed to standing with his teammates that do kneel. And by standing, I'm kind of being figurative here, but supporting his teammates who do kneel. It was about Drew Brees and Drew's perspective. And the way he said it, when he said it, how he said it, those were, to me, what made it insensitive. It wasn't his opinion that was insensitive. It was the way that it was delivered. Very often, your message can get lost in your method. And in Drew's case, his message was drowned out by the method, and it got lost in the method. The method missed the mark. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I admire Drew Brees. I have frequently called him one of the great ambassadors for the NFL. His teammates have almost always supported him. They have talked about what a great leader he is. He's done so much for the community of New Orleans, rebuilding after Hurricane Katrina. The man has put millions of dollars of his own money into the city and the community. I've never heard anyone call him racist, and I didn't hear anyone call him racist on Wednesday. But because in the midst of everything that's happening in the wake of George Floyd's killing, he chose to focus back on the military as opposed to the reason why many of his teammates and his colleagues in the NFL kneel. Again, it was like he was going one direction, veering off the highway, where the conversation was supposed to be going a different direction. So Drew, of course, put out a mini statement on Wednesday. It was very benign. There was nothing to it. He changed his tone and issued a full apology on Thursday.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally.
That was his video on Instagram. And if you could see his face, in fact, I don't know if we can find it on our own social media, maybe retweet it, producer Chris. If you could see his face, I feel like facial expressions, nonverbal cues are so important. And I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I think Breeze messed up. He made a mistake. But I don't think that in any way that he is a racist or meant to say that, you know, I'm over here and those guys are over there. I mean, he just completely, as his statement said, he lacked awareness. And his statement came across as preachy and rigid. This is on Yahoo Finance, as opposed to being compassionate and empathetic. And he says those things in his apology. Here's a piece of it. I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. And again, that jumped out to me because that's one of the phrases I used over and over on our show last night. And I also appreciate this part. I recognize I should do less talking and more listening. And when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. I believe he's sincere. I believe his apology is genuine. I don't believe there was any intent, to hurt or to point fingers or to drudge up this old debate. He was asked a question, he answered, but it was tone deaf, as I've said to you, multiple times. So I choose to believe that he's being sincere. His teammates, though, are the ones who have to accept the apology. And Alvin Kamara was one who jumped on social media. And if you haven't seen Alvin's Twitter today, I would implore you to do so. Please go and read it. Not because it's all about Drew Brees, but because he shares his experience as an African-American whose mom actually emigrated from Africa. And he said he felt like his experience was worse because his mom had a funny accent. Those are his words, but he shares some of his experiences. And I won't read them all on the show, but I would encourage you to do so. If you're looking for some way to try to understand, to listen to someone share why their experience is different than yours, if it is, well, then I would encourage you to read Alvin's thread that he put out on social media on Thursday. But here's what he had to say about Drew. I've had a day to digest the comments that Drew made. I was disappointed and hurt. We talked and I explained to him where he dropped the ball and he understood. But now it's time for us to be part of the solution, not the problem. We have to educate to progress. To me, that sounds like an apology accepted. To me, that sounds like a willingness to forgive and move on. And there were others that spoke out. There were some that aren't feeling it, and that's fine. Drew did speak to his teammates over a conference call on Thursday. Weirdly enough, Shaquille O'Neal was part of that call, and he will explain why after the break. But I would love to hear from you. Yes, Drew is entitled to his opinion, but that opinion hurt people. And so if you would like to see the apology, you can check it out. Producer Chris found it via Bleacher Report. So thank you, Chris. And also, which of the return to play plans do you prefer, NBA or NHL?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shams Charania, great NBA insider. He and Adrian Wojnarowski, I feel like they are brothers from another mother. They're like twins, the two of them, constantly breaking the news and on the forefront. And they've worked really hard to be able to get to the point where they have the inside scoop and where they have people that they can get information from. So as Sham points out, and as we've heard about the NHL, there are still plenty of details and minutia they need to hammer out. And that's okay. They've got 2 months. That's the part that I'm having a hard time with, the fact that we're still looking at 2 more months. So It was somewhat humorous to see all over social media on Thursday. The NBA's back. It's back. Here it comes. Let's get ready. The NBA's back. Well, no, it's not. It's not even close to being back. We're still talking about a full 2 months before we have any NBA games or NHL games. And I'm just, at this point, wake me when there's something new from the world of Major League Baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Right on cue, by the way, my dog is snoring, so that should tell you how she feels about Major League Baseball and the fact that there are no sports for two months. Our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico, which has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. It lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. 855-212-4227. So I want to finish up, or not finish up, but I want to make sure I pay off on our tees. That's such a radio term. But I told you that Shaquille O'Neal was privy to the Drew Brees apology and call with his teammates on Thursday, weirdly enough, right? But Shaquille O'Neal, then his busy day for him Thursday, turned around and was part of the NBA on TNT, essentially an inside the NBA Zoom call with Ernie and Shaq and Charles and Kenny, and the commissioner, Adam Silver, joined them. But a lot of it was about the NBA's return to play, but the overarching theme was a conversation about race and about how it affects them personally and also how it affects professional sports. And here's what Shaq had to say about Drew and the Saints.
So about 2 weeks ago, I was contacted to speak to the Saints players today. So my speech was about team and unity and something else. Then this happened. So not going to get into it because Coach Payton doesn't really want us to get into it, but I was on the call today when Drew apologized to his teammates. And most of his teammates accepted his apology. They said, Drew, we know your character. We knew you stepped in some stuff that you can't get out of, but guess what? We want you to do more positive things and less talking. And they all said, we accept your apology. I agree with Chuck. He made a mistake.
Shaquille O'Neal was previously scheduled to be part of the Saints team meeting over video conference today, and he still ended up joining that call. It was supposed to be about team unity. It was supposed to be about, you know, getting a rah-rah kind of inspirational speech from a guy who's got a lot of rings. And then this happened, his words. And so during this hour-long virtual team meeting, Drew addressed his teammates and, again, apologized to them. Now, as you can imagine, most of his teammates were reluctant to speak specifically about what Drew said. But there were a couple of, you know, anonymous reports that the call was vulnerable, a necessary conversation. And here's another phrase that was reported by ESPN's Mike Triplett. It was not only for our team, but just as men. There are guys who said it publicly, but as you hear from Shaquille O'Neal, teammates who said it privately to Drew, that they accepted his apology. They listened to what he had to say. They were willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Why? Because they know him. Because his image, his reputation, it goes before him. Everybody screws up. Everybody says stuff they wish they could take back. Stuff is such a technical term, I know. And I'll say it one more time because people have continued to tweet at me. Yes, Drew is entitled to his opinion. No one is saying he's not entitled to his opinion. And Drew himself apologized for the how and the when and the why. It was more about the fact that he, in his expression, he came across as rigid and insensitive, bad timing, and as I said on last night's show, a little bit preachy. It sounded like he left no room for anyone else's opinions. Is that true? No. But that's how it came across. Delivery is just as important as content. And I can use my own profession as an example. I can have every piece of sports information and a brain full of knowledge that I could share with you. But if I come on the radio and my microphone is turned on and all I do is read it to you, are you entertained? Do you want to listen to what I have to say? No. I have to combine my knowledge with the ability to entertain. I have to combine my knowledge with the ability to have a conversation. I have to combine my knowledge and my experience with my recognition of who's listening and the audience. And those things Drew failed to do. His message was fine. He has plenty of knowledge. He has the expertise and the background to be able, and the credibility to be able to deliver that knowledge. And his knowledge that he wanted to share is that he stands and he would never support not standing because of his grandfather's. Great. That knowledge in and of itself, fine. There's nothing wrong with that opinion. But the way he said it, the how he said it, the when he said it, his knowledge and his opinion got lost in all of that. Again, just like my knowledge would get lost and you wouldn't really hear what it is that I'm saying if I didn't know how to deliver it in a way that it was appealing on a radio show. I hope that you understand that analogy. The method is just as important as the message. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Always, I'd love to take your phone calls. Next hour, longtime NFL referee and current CBS rules analyst Gene Steratore. He's funny. He's also very well-spoken and has made the transition almost seamlessly. There were others who were willing to speak out about Drew and his last 48 hours. Calais Campbell, who is now with the Baltimore Ravens, of course, was with the Jacksonville Jaguars for a long time. He was a guest on CBS Sports HQ, and this was earlier on Thursday.
I'm a fan of Drew Brees. I think he has a good heart. I think he means well, but in this situation, he's wrong. That's a peaceful protest, which I feel like, obviously, I think that there are multiple ways to get things done. There are multiple ways to bring change, you know, and the flag is something that carries a lot of weight. I respect the flag. I respect America. I love being American. I'm proud to be an American, but what it represents right now for Black folks, you know, isn't ideal, and it can be better, and it should be better, and we're demanding better.
Calais Campbell on CBS Sports HQ. He's always such a great talker. He's very passionate. It's not very often that you hear Calais, whether it's a press conference or whether he's doing a particular interview in which he doesn't kind of bring all that energy and enthusiasm to the forefront. So I always appreciate his passion for the subject, regardless of what it is, football or otherwise. You may have seen on social media, and I'm assuming there are other versions. I happened to see it on our Twitter, on Twitter. And there were multiple videos that were put together. There were some that featured an array of names from the NFL. There was a specific video put out by the Packers. That was a coach and a quarterback and, you know, different guys from various units on the Packers, and their theme was enough is enough. So you can't see these guys. Some of the voices you can recognize, but this is one of the videos that was making the rounds that was put together so well and shared on Thursday.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd?
What if I was George Floyd?
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 I am George Floyd.
I am Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am Laquan McDonald.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am
Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I am Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our right
to peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong and silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
It's a heck of a lot more powerful to hear them say it, to hear the names of those who have been victims, to hear them collectively say Black Lives Matter, but also at the beginning. And some of the names you may, or some of the voices, excuse me, you may recognize. Saquon Barkley, DeAndre Hopkins was in there, certainly Patrick Mahomes. And to hear at the beginning, what does it take? Does it take one of us being murdered? So I appreciate that there were voices and faces to the message, and the NFL players are taking it upon themselves to make sure that they get that message out there, so it's not just words on a screen or words on a piece of paper.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.